High five, a real high five, not the little high five. We have some excitement around here, amen. I know it's a Sunday night. I know those with little ones, sometimes Sundays can be a little longer or feel a little longer, although there's the same hours in the days tomorrow. But I am wanting to kind of inject some life into our spirits this evening. In the next few weeks, and this might be just, I'm just taking an opportunity to maybe encourage the core of the church that is involved in the planning and the execution of the Vacation Bible School. But it's going to be a very busy time for many of us, especially those in this church. My wife and I have already started to get things planned because, you know, once Vacation Bible School starts, it's 3 hours, 4 hours a night, all the planning that's involved. We're going to have to change our dinner schedules. I'm going to have to do a lot of different things. And I know many hours have already been spent. How many folks here have already spent some time planning, getting things ready? There's already been things being prepared. And I know over the past few months, I'm just talking personally in my own life, I've watched my job hours spike. I've seen things in my wife's work spike up. And I've also noticed there's been a trend in the church that there's been a lot more of individual busyness. I'm not saying that as a negative, but I'm just saying this year in particular, Pastor mentioned the first half of this year, as we have been tremendously busy. Can anyone attest to that? Amen. And I'm not trying to, again, disparage busyness, but I know that I don't like feeling like a hamster on a wheel, where you just wake up one morning and it's go, 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 sleep. Wake up, go, 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 eat, sleep. And sometimes I know that we can feel this way. But the fact that I'm not asking for sympathy for anybody. But tonight I want to encourage this church today. I want to let you know that what you're doing is for something eternal. For what we're doing, what we're attempting to do every year, this occurs. We find different ways to retell the story of Jesus, and we have different themes, and we go out of our way. I know Brother Schaefer is very thankful this year. We're not taking down any chandeliers, and I'm sure those of you are very thankful. We're not plastering the church in some weird colors and doing some odd things, but we're taking everything outside. And next year, I guess we're renting elephants. I'm just teasing. But it's something that is, if you haven't noticed, it struck a nerve, it struck a passion in the church. And there's something that's to be said about that. And I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight that God sees what we are attempting to do for His kingdom. And He wants to tell us tonight that He is for it. And everything that we do will be blessed. Amen? Can someone be excited about knowing that God is for what this church is attempting to do? Amen? Raise a hand. Amen. There's a story, and I'm not going to get into it. If you want to go to Luke chapter 1 in your own personal time, it's the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was, and the story tells that she was getting up there in age, and she was beyond childbearing years. And Zechariah, being a priest, had an encounter with God. And the angel of the Lord said that you're going to have a son. And he didn't really understand. And he said, "Could you tell me that again?" And he was explained to him again. And it was because of his doubt. His tongue was, he was brought to be dumb. And there, Elizabeth, his wife, had a child. And right there, right in the middle of this story, just in between her meeting or her knowing she was with child and her meeting Mary, the Bible tells us, for nothing is impossible with God. Something that we have found that how could you be beyond childbearing year? You're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be knitting somewhere in the corner. You're supposed to be out taking care of other kids and other families, getting water for sheep. But here she is, getting ready to have a child. And the Bible says, for nothing is impossible with God. I just felt the Lord kind of tap me on the shoulder and say, you know, people drive past this church and they think of it and it's a little strange. It doesn't look like a brand new facility. It doesn't look like just, you know, what you think of the modern church. And you come inside and it looks really nice, but we don't have the big light things going on and we don't have all this other stuff. But what I feel in my spirit today is that for nothing is impossible with God. God has set this church here for a reason and for a purpose. And you may feel like we're well beyond our years of giving birth, but as a witness this morning that we saw someone being filled with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in a tongue, somebody who was hungry. There are hungry people in this region who are going to look to this church and to look, and I believe this, to look to one of you. You may feel as if you're well beyond your ministry years. You may feel beyond, oh, I'm well beyond that because of life. And I'm here to tell you, for nothing is impossible with God. If you believe that, let's clap our hands unto the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. I believe it. I believe it. I believe that there is a growing hunger, an increased I believe that there is a growing hunger for God in this area. And that in the next few weeks, what we are going to begin to see is an increase in visitors, and those who come in contact with you will want to know about God in a deeper level. That's a lot of words to say. I believe that this area is primed for hungry people to come to Christ through this church, through you. I know you may be like Zechariah the priest, and you're going through your priestly motions and you're lighting the incense and you know it's your turn to and all of a sudden you have a God moment, and you may think, well, what you're saying, God, is well beyond what I think I'm capable of. What you're telling me, Lord, is that I'm going to be doing some awesome things and great things are going to happen, and we're going to see some things and through me. But really me? I'm not sure. I'm going to encourage somebody tonight. I'm going to encourage our pastor who may fit sometimes. I will speak for him. Sometimes he and his wife bear a weight that I don't bear, that you don't bear. And sometimes God has given him things to see in his spiritual mind where he wants to take us. And then sometimes when you don't see that happen as fast as you would think, as fast as you would hope, you begin to get discouraged. You begin to think, well, maybe there's some other things that I need to work on. Well, maybe it's this way, and maybe it's that. Well, maybe I just missed out on God. But I'm here tonight to inject some life and some encouragement in someone's faith that God has chosen this church. God has chosen the leadership of this church to reach this region. I believe that. Amen. Someone say amen if you believe that. I believe that we're at the beginning of a new season of spiritual growth in this local church. I felt that this morning in the spirit when I was kind of trying to edify the body, that a season is beginning to close out and a new one is going to begin. And I believe that the spiritual growth that we're going to see in this church is going to be unparalleled, and that will translate into stronger families and stronger individuals spiritually, because that's what we need more than anything else. We need strong families. We need strong individuals. We know that we need to have the word hidden in our heart. We need to know why. Why we believe. We need to know. We need to know it for us. I need to be able to explain why I believe what I believe. I believe there is also coming a time, an increase. I'm gonna say this the way I wrote this. There's gonna be an increasing number of spiritual attacks by the enemy. We shouldn't be surprised if situations flare up, causing distractions and turmoil. But let me tell you this, all that is meant to do is distract us from our calling. Distract you from your calling. And I believe the Lord is telling us tonight to keep your eyes on the task at hand. Keep your eyes at the task at hand. I believe, I felt a shift in my spirit this week, and I haven't had really a time to really talk to anybody about it, but I felt a spiritual shift this week happen. And some things have occurred that have reflected that. And I think there's times when we feel as if the first sign of resistance, that means, well, we're on the wrong path. The first sign of any spiritual resistance, Pastor, well, you know, I'm sorry, I committed to teach a Bible study, but this came up and this came up, so I'm sorry. Well, what do you think was going to happen? What do you think was going to happen? Brother James is praying for a job change, and we're all praying with him because we need him here. And I believe that he's a key leader in the church and has a vision for ministry. Is there any reason why we should be surprised that he's having to struggle to get a job, to get on a day turn to be here? My thinking is, if we find resistance, we need to band together and pray and to fast and come against that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Should we be surprised that someone in the church gets sick? Should we be surprised that a flare-up is here and a flare-up is there and something's causing controversy and a smoke grenade's going off over here and a flash and a boom over there? Well, let me just tell you, we need to keep our eyes fixed on our task at hand. In the Bible, in Scripture, in Mark chapter 6, the Great Commission, he called the 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. Wherever you go, he said, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if in any place, or if any place refuses to welcome you or to listen to you, shake its dust from your feet just as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. What I like to point out from this passage of Scripture, It must have been one of those awesome moments. I can imagine if maybe Brother James and I were kind of linked up together and Jesus Christ himself was giving us these instructions. I'd be just kind of smiling there. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And we'll be just kind of giggling with just, wow, this is awesome. But he gave this instruction that says that wipe the sandal off your feet if they don't like you, if they reject you. Wait a minute. Isn't everyone gonna be on board? Isn't everybody gonna see the same thing I do? Is it gonna be he's the Messiah? Not really, figuratively. Not everybody is going to be excited that we're pressing pause on some things for 3 weeks to have VBS. Not everybody is going to be excited that we're going to have 50 to 75 kids maybe running outside. Not everyone's excited. There might be something, maybe even my own spirit that says, oh, that's a lot of work. Oh, that's a lot of things to do. But the disciples in turn went out. In verse 12 it says, so the disciples went out. telling everybody they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. What the Bible says is they went as instructed and they did as instructed. They kept to their task. They did what they were told. I don't know about you. I want to have the faith that I know who Jesus, that Jesus is God, and I understand that. But I also want to have the faith like Peter, when Peter met the lame man on the way to pray, he said, "Silver and gold I have I none, but unto thee I give. Rise, Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." It's John paraphrase. I'll never be able to quote scripture verbatim. Just forgive me. It's in there. But perhaps one of you might be at the speedway getting fuel, and perhaps someone might come up to you and say, "Friend, I need some help." And perhaps one of you might be able to come in and tell the story of when you don't know how it happened, but "Pastor, I don't know how it happened, but this person came up and asked me for some money, and I didn't have anything, but I offered to pray for him. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost right there." Yes, I believe we're entering into I know I'm not the bishop. I know I'm not the pastor, but I know what God has shown me. And I want to encourage, I want you to leave here full of encouragement, full of faith, that whatever situation you might be facing, it's just temporary. Nothing you're going through is permanent. What is the church doing? The church is doing what has been mandated by God. I believe that. I believe we're going into a season of outreach, which has been mandated by God. It's not something the pastor just kind of, "Well, we haven't really knocked on any doors recently. Well, I guess we've got to do that at least twice a year to be a church, so let's do that." No. "Well, we haven't really supported this mission over here, so let's write a check so we can do our duty." No. Everything that we do around here is a spiritual decision. The church has been mandated to bring a harvest. I don't know about you, but I like to see reports of someone getting the Holy Ghost, but I want to see that happen, Pastor, every Sunday. I want us to walk out of here disappointed on a Sunday night that nobody got the Holy Ghost. Can I get another amen for that? A Sunday night, someone get the Holy Ghost? A Sunday night, someone wanted to come to church? Sunday night, someone wanted to be in the altar? Someone wanted to be baptized, not on Sunday morning, but Sunday night? We've got to, like I mentioned last Sunday, change our thinking. This church is in its foundation has been set. I believe that we are going to be a catalyst to a new season of revival. And if you don't believe that, you better start believing that. If you think that church is just going to just stay the same, you better start thinking something else. I cannot express to you the fact that we have to change the way I'll say it this way, the way I think about church. And I want to encourage folks tonight. And I am circling the runway. We are almost through. We are going to have a time of worship and a time of celebration, but I want to take us through some things before we get there. There's some things that I think what we need to do. Number one, we need to claim the word that's been given. You got to claim it. If we truly want revival in this region through this church, If we truly want to send out folks to start a church plant there in Ravenna, and a church plant in Streetsboro, and a church plant in whatever area the Lord sees fit, we've got to start claiming some things. Why don't we just start doing that right now? Why don't we just take a time? Let's pray. Let's pray right now. I know this is different. Lord Jesus, I want to start claiming some things. Open up your voices, church. Lord God, I want to claim some things. Lord God, there's some areas, there's some territory in my life, Lord God, I've got to start claiming. And this crazy guy's up here, and he's trying to, he's getting me out of my comfort zone. So, but Lord God, I want to claim the city of Ravenna. Lord God, I want to claim Portage County, Lord Jesus. God, my neighbor, Lord God, I want to claim revival in my home. I want to claim revival in my room, Lord Jesus, in my heart, Lord God. Father, I want to start claiming some things. God, I just don't want to have the routine of just letting things go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. The next thing I believe we need to pray for, and we're going to do it right now, I think we need to begin to thank him for the revival he's going to send us. A revival that he's going to send you. You've got to claim it first, but after that, you got to thank him. Are we an apostolic church? Or are we just some silly little bunch of hillbillies? I call myself a hillbilly. Born and bred. My grandpa made wine down in the floor cellar, and I used to play down there, so I can claim that. But are we going to be apostolic, or are we just kind of take our Sunday nights and just, well, you know, we're supposed to gear it a certain way, and if we have a move of God, that's great, but if it's not, that's okay too. No, I don't want that. I want the place packed out Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. I want to have Friday night youth services where it's great to get together, and it's great to have pole vaults and all this fun stuff going on, but I want to see lives changed. I want our youth group. I want our youth group to impact this area. I want our youth group. I want doctors from the hospital to call and say, Pastor, could you have the youth group call? Could come in and start praying for some people in the ER? Because the last time, three people that we thought were going to die didn't. They walked out of here. Now, I'm not just trying to just throw spaghetti at the wall, and if it sticks, it's great. I want to begin to believe that God can use our young people. And if we do believe that, then we need to claim it. And right now, the next thing that we're going to do, we're just going to thank him for what God is going to do. Does anyone want to be thankful for what God's going to do in your life? For maybe a healing that he's going to give you? Revival in the jails? My mind just keeps on going to Ravenna. A church plant in Ravenna. Maybe it's gonna impact this church. Let's begin to thank him, Lord. Right now, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Let's open up our mouth right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord God. I want to thank you for the victories that are going to happen, Lord God. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus. God, for your redeeming blood, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord God. God, for the revival in our youth group, for the revival in our young people. Lord Jesus, God, for the revival in this region. I want to thank you, Lord God, for saving my family. God, for filling my daughters with the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord God, for your healing, oh Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, in advance, Lord Jesus, God. God, as the people have been anointed, Lord Jesus. God, if they feel led to pray and the thing come true, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I don't want to be ashamed of you, Lord God. I want to proudly proclaim my thanksgiving before you, oh Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I praise you. I know this might not seem like a normal Sunday night, because it's not. But I think we need to recognize that victory is at the doorstep of this church. Your victory is at the doorstep. I wrote that on my computer, and tears began to come down my face. I just raised my hand toward heaven. I wanted to thank him for that word. Folks, you've been struggling for so long. You've not seen victory. You've just had defeat after defeat after defeat. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the victory's at our doorstep. Victory's at the doorstep. There's just a hunger that's got to be churned in us. A hunger that's got to be churned in us. I've got to want you more than anything, Lord. I've got to want you more than anything, God. I've got to want you more than just a routine and just comfort. And I just don't want to be normal anymore. Father, I praise you. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I praise you. I'm asking in the next 3 weeks that we need to use the word vigilant in our conversation and our thoughts. We need to be vigilant in five things. It's very simple. We need to be vigilant in our prayer. Your personal prayer time the next 3 weeks is crucial to this church. Maybe you struggle with your personal prayer time. I'm asking you to be vigilant in that. I'm asking us to be vigilant in being in our word. I know many of you read the word every day. That's great, but maybe some of us don't. I'm asking this church body tonight to be vigilant in reading our word. Number three, our fasting. That's the one area that I know that I struggle with personally. There's instances in Scripture where disciples came to Jesus and wanted to know why they couldn't cast out the devil in the man, and it was because this comes not by prayer but prayer and fasting. The next 3 weeks, it's crucial. If we're going to see young men and women full of the Holy Ghost, if we're going to see their parents and families change, we've got to fast. Be vigilant in our reactions to situations that can be distractions and hindrances to you. We have to be on guard to how I respond.
Why? Because it just could be something that the enemy has decided to distract us.
Case in point, the microphone goes out. Case in point, right there, microphone goes out. Week four after VBS, we're getting a new PA system. It's not that it's not that things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. People are going to say things that tick you off. Hopefully, it's not your spouse. Might be your spouse, might be your kids, something might happen. But it's how you respond to that situation. I have found that I could have avoided many conflicts in my marriage if I would have chosen to respond properly. We've got to be vigilant in our response. If something comes up around here, you're not sure, and it could be gossip, take it up. Take it, the pastor. Pastor's phone, I'm not asking pastor's phone to be ringing off the hook, but there's a proper way to deal with things. Amen? We have to learn to respond well, because we can let some things distract us. And number five, again, this is not hard. We've got to be diligent in our worship. We cannot lose focus of who the King of Kings is and who the Lord of Lords is. And that every day I'm going to offer up thanks. And every day I'm just going to give glory to the name of Jesus. Because I want to be in His presence all the time, 24 hours a day, 7. I want to pray without ceasing. I want to worship without ceasing. And if that means I have to turn off some things I'm listening to, if that means I'm going to have to shut down the computer for a little while so I can get alone in His presence, that's what I'm going to do. Because the next 3 weeks, I believe... And I believe I've heard from the Lord, and if I haven't, forgive me. But I believe the next 3 weeks, it's going to alter the history of this church. And someone needs to grab a hold of that and begin to believe that. The Bible tells us to be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong and do everything in love. And that's what I want us to do. That's what I want to be. I want to be on guard. I want to stand firm in the faith. I want to be courageous. I want to be strong. And I want to do everything in love. Because I believe that we are to be working in the fields. I want to be working in the fields when Jesus comes back. I don't want him. I don't want to be distracted so much that I'm away from my post. And there's things I'm doing personally to make sure that I'm not distracted. I'm responding the right way. That I'm supportive of the church. I'm doing the right thing. And no, I'm not perfect. I'm not proclaiming that they have the corner market on perfection. But I believe that we're going to see folks coming. And someone's got to believe with us. Someone else has got to believe. It's got to be throughout the entire church, Pastor. It just can't be one or two. I say that with authority. It just can't be just one or two. It can't be just a... No, it's got to be every single one of us. We're going to stand and we're going to pray. I know this is not a normal Sunday night message. But I just felt, I tried. I've got 3 others all laid out real nice. But I couldn't get away from what I heard. I couldn't get away from being vigilant. I couldn't get away from, with God, nothing is impossible. As we begin to pray, the altars are open, you want us to pray with you, we can. If you want to just take a moment and pray at your seat, do whatever you want to with this tonight. But I can tell you, I've looked at my wife and said, we've got to do some things different. There's some boldness in me that has to start being stirred. I'm really good at just letting smile and letting the situation just kind of flash out. The next 3 weeks, Melvin and Melvin are kind of funny, but they're instruments that are used by God. They need anointing. Our teachers, they need anointing. Our craft people, they need anointing. We need prayer covering all over this place. Let's pray. Oh God, the word's gone forth, Lord Jesus. I'm convinced, Lord God, that there's revival in the air. I can smell it. I can feel it. I can taste it, Lord Jesus. Father, tonight...
Father, maybe to some it's been shocking. Maybe to some it's been disruptive. But Lord God, anything you can do, God, to get us, Lord God, looking it towards you, Lord Jesus. I pray tonight, Lord God, God, that I rededicate my life, that I can rededicate my spiritual life, Lord Jesus. God, if in any of these areas, Lord God, this the next few weeks, Lord Jesus, help me, God. Help me, Lord Jesus, be an encouraging person. Help me be, Lord God, God, be there, Lord Jesus, whenever there's a need, oh, Father. I praise your name. I praise your name. These altars are open. In Jesus' name.